Yeah, that'd be great. If you could give me a little oh, there we are. Amen. Why don't you stand back up for a minute and turn and just grab a hold of somebody next to you and just release God's love. You can bring down, I don't know, just a little bit. It's a little ringy kind of feel, and we'll be good. Yeah. Yeah, just go ahead and release the love of God in the building. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And amen. I'm excited about tonight. Anybody excited about tonight? Amen. Good to see you. Bless you, honey. Thank you. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm really excited about this evening and what God's going to do in the next two services. It's always a great blessing to come. Anywhere God sends me, it's a privilege to come serve. Amen. And we believe that I'm here by divine appointment. The Bible says the steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord. So, you know, I pray that God would continue to direct and guide and lead me in places where people are hungry for God. Amen.
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 Yes.
All three of you. Praise God. All right. Amen. And there's a visitation of the presence of God in the miraculous. It's on the move. I'm a little different duck, if you want to call me, more like a bull. But if God's not moving, I'm out. And so, I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for the presence of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. Amen?
These are the days of demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, my speech and my preaching, he said, I came to you with fear and trembling. It didn't mean he was afraid of the devil or afraid of the people or wobbly in his knees. Fearing in the presence of God, awe, and holy awe of the presence of God. He trembled in the power and the presence of God. Then he went on to say, my speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power. Good to see you, Joan. And the Holy Ghost, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Amen? And so the Holy Ghost and I are running buddies. And, you know, Luke 4:14 said, Jesus returned into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Amen? Yeah. Notice the location. And there went a fame throughout all the regions about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, which was his custom or his habit. And that would be good for some of us to remember that those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Or Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not forsake the assemblyment of the saints, which some have done, as you see the day draw near. Amen?
That's right.
You know, it's not the hour of lone ranger stuff. Or stranger, you want to stick that in there too, that'll work. But the last great move of God is coming out of the local church, where we're going to have Holy Ghost pastors and men and women of God in the pulpit that are on fire for God, that are full of the Scriptures. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says that the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the joints and marrows, the discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's Jesus. He's the written word, the spoken word. But you're going to have pulpits full of the fire of God, like your pastor and his wife. And people are going to come to the local church, and God's power is going to be moving in demonstration. People are going to come in broken. The last day church is not going to be some country club with a bunch of people that are perfect and everything. He's perfect in all his ways, but we aren't. We're under construction.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm, you know, being in leadership, this is 30-plus year ministry years, and you just learn a few things along the way. People are going through things,
yes.
You know, and life isn't easy. But, you know, and I don't mean that in a weird way, you know, like we just, you know, pull out hankies and cry for the next 10 days. I don't mean that. What I'm trying to say is life is serious. And there's issues, and there's problems, but there's a great God. And when you come to a church where they make room for the anointing, everybody say the anointing. That changes it all right there. That's the game changer. Where faith and power is in operation. And that's my DNA. Are you listening to me? And that's your pastor and his wife's DNA. Amen? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Amen. The devil's already had three hernias since I stepped up here. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, speaking of the Lord Jesus, you know, it's him. Paul, speaking by the inspiration of the Spirit, says, who is he that ascended? That means go up, in case you're wondering. But the same that descended into the lower parts of the earth. So Jesus went to hell for us. You know that. But when he ascended back on high, the Bible says he led captivity captive.
Yes.
Now, one translation said he led a trainload of Old Testament saints out of Abraham's bosom. That's pretty good. You know, that's like Catholics, that's purgatory. You know, hey! You know what I'm talking about? There ain't no purgatory. That was just the Old Testament saints when they got, you know, they gave their lives to Christ, or to God, but eventually would be to Christ, to the new birth, that they were in a holding tank in Abraham's bosom in the heart of the earth. Amen? When Jesus, he done come out of hell, he said, I am he who has the keys of death and life. And he opened Abraham's bosom, the keys, and let all them Old Testament saints, they all got born again, got a train ride right into glory. Some of you never heard that. But it's all good. Then it said he led captivity captive.
Yes.
Amen. That means, that's what that means. Hey, come on now.
Come on. Yeah, preach it.
And then he said, now this is very important. Now listen to what he said. Then he gave gifts unto men. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
The finished work of Christ, you know. And right after he finishes the work, he gives gifts unto men. He said, what's that all about, Brother Chris? I'm glad you brought that up. He said, first apostles. You know, some religions years ago, you know, they just think everybody's either a pastor or an evangelist. That's all it is. But that's not accurate. Because there's fivefold ministry gifts. Right? By the way, my cousin Larry's here tonight. Basta, right over there. Stand up, Larry, just for a minute. He is one amazing person with a heart after God. We talk on the phone, I just see his heart just shine. He just loves God so much. Been used in youth ministry. God's used him so many different ways, and I'm really proud of him. He's like a brother to me. He's not a cousin. He's like a brother. He's here tonight.
Right.
Isn't that great?
It is.
Yeah, he said, I took so many back streets, I don't know how he got here, right? Isn't that what you told me? He didn't know how to even get here. It's a miracle. It's a miracle right there. You think God doesn't do miracles right there. He's there. But no, we'll talk later. But getting back to my sermon before y'all interrupted me. He gave gifts unto men. First apostles. So there's an apostolic calling. You know, there's apostles. Apostles is Jesus was an apostle, you know. You know that. For God so loved the world, he gave his only. He came from heaven. He's an apostle to this earth. Amen? It's good to see you. From Fredonia, Jamestown, right? Good to see you. Amen. Been down to their church. We'd be pulling chairs out and people all over the floors down there. They're hungry.
Amen.
And he gave gifts unto men, first apostles, secondarily prophets. So there's a prophetic office, apostolic, and then there's the prophet's office, the seer. Old Testament seer and the New Testament seer are different, so let's not get weird about it, you know. You got the indwelling presence of God under the New Testament. You don't need a word. You have a more sure word of prophecy. The word of the living God, and you hear from God. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. Right, Allie? You hear from God, right? And then first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly evangelists, pastors and teachers. Now he connects the pastor with the teaching gift, pastor and teacher. For other ones, he just lists them, but then he says pastor and teacher because the pastor has to teach you. He has to give you information. Amen? Amen. And the entrance of his word gives light, gives understanding to the simple. And so shall his word go forth and accomplish that which is set out to do. And you have to get trained in the word. You have to know who you are in Christ and what he's done through his death, burial, and resurrection so you can get empowered with information. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Amen. And what you don't know can hurt you.
Amen.
If you're ignorant of the promises of God, then Satan can, you know, take advantage of your ignorance. But I got news for you. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for their life to those that find them. So you got to go dig for them.
Amen.
Isn't that right, Richard?
Yes, sir. Amen.
You still owe me a few papers.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. He was in my class, and great student, you know. I said, Richard, jump, and he jumped through the ceiling, you know. Richard, roll. Richard, roll. And he'd roll. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. He loved God so much, that guy, he's dangerous, man. He's like a loaded pistol. Hey! Glory. I like him, man. I like people like that around me, you know? Like if I'm going into Iraq, I want a guy like him in my foxhole. Some of these guys, and you know, some people say they get worried about, you know, in battle getting shot. To me, it's like you run up the beach of Omaha. I'm worried about some of the guys around me that might shoot me. Some of you didn't even get that, but it's all right. I've been fasting and praying all day. I'm so full of Jesus right now. Amen. Amen. Praying in tongues. My tongue fell off 4 or 5 times in the hotel room. I threw it back in my mouth. I don't know what kind of a crowd I got, but it's all right. So the ministry gifts are given by Jesus.
Yes.
In fact, if you study it out, and this wouldn't be my message tonight, but Jesus stood in all the fivefold ministry gifts.
Yes, he did.
He was the apostolic. He was sent from heaven. Amen. Yes. Remember, he was evangelist because he came to seek and save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He was a prophet, right? Remember the woman at Samaria at the well? He said, woman, you must need to go through Samaria. He said, woman, give me to drink. He said, why is it you being a Jew ask me a Samaritan to give you to drink? For the Jews and Samaritans have nothing to do with one another. Sounds like racial issues. Isn't it? And he said, woman, give me to drink. And then, of course, you know, she goes back to the issue. I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. This doesn't work. He said, woman, if you knew who it was that asked you to give you to drink, you'd ask of me and I'd give you a well of living water that you'd never grow. She's like, what is that? Give me that eternal Gatorade. I'll take it. Thank you. Are you there? She said, I want that. He said, okay, but first go call your husband. And then you go to the Looney Tunes. That's all, folks. She said, I don't have no husband. She said, no, you don't have no husband. You have five. You've had four, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. She says, sir, I perceive thou to be a prophet. I guess he was a prophet. And a prophet's not without honor except in his own hometown, amongst his own kin and his own family. And Jesus in his own hometown could do there no mighty works, except he healed a few people with minor ailments, and he marveled because of their unbelief. They said, is this not the carpenter's son? Be careful of the sin of familiarity. Say, when's the service start? I'm already rolling. Just hook up.
Amen.
I got enough sermons to, you know, choke a dead horse and raise him from the dead.
Amen.
I'm full. It's just in me. It'll come out what we need to say.
Amen.
But that's why you got to be careful that with the sin of familiarity. You know what the sin of familiarity is? That you start get around your pastor, you start calling him Richard. No, it's not Richard. It's pastor. Because what you don't respect, you don't receive from. So I'm big on honor. Big on the inside of me. Honor for the offices. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's good teaching, Brother Chris. Thank you so much. Amen. So you honor the... It's not Pastor... It's Pastor Rich. It's not Rich. Hey, Richard. No, that ain't, that's not accurate. That's not right. Because your familiarity will cause you to... Now sometimes we feel like we get close to somebody. We feel an aspect, I'm close to him. And I just Richard like he's my dad or something. No, it's Pastor Richard, and I don't know what do they call you Miss Joan? I hope they do. If they don't, you better start tonight. We're changing the rules around here. It's Miss Joan, thank you. Don't ever call her Joan. Say Miss Joan, okay? Just for honor for that office. Do you know Ronald Reagan? You remember him? Anybody remember him? Well, you know, Mr. Gorbachev. You know, Ronald Reagan, when he went into the office, Larry, he would never take his jacket off the Oval Office because he honored the office.
Amen.
I don't know why I'm talking about it, but it sure is good. And if you dishonor the office, you're going to miss what could be possibly deposited into your life that's going to change you.
Amen.
Because of your dishonor. What you honor opens to you. What you dishonor repels to you. I've seen people in marriage. I've seen people that... I'm following the Holy Ghost, in case you're wondering. I've seen people, like wives that dishonor their husband, and their whole heart closed down. You know, the number one, I don't know why I'm on it, but I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost like a dog on the hunt. The number one need of a man is not sex. It's respect. And the minute you stop, when the minute you disrespect him, if he's running around doing crazy stuff, okay, well, that's a different story. But I'm just talking about somebody's heart's good. The number one need of a man is respect. And when you disrespect him, his heart closes down and suffers in silence. Honor your husband. Husbands, serve and love your wives. Cherish them. She'll open her heart up like a flower if you just love her, right? That's you smiling. Did you get that? Hey, come on. Are you listening to me? You show respect. See, now the same thing would be true of the office of the pastor. Amen. You honor him. Amen. I've got good friends. I've got, most of my friends are in the ministry, close friends. And I still call him a pastor. I call him pastor. Hey, how you doing, Bill? No, it's Pastor Bill. Did you know in our culture, they did a list of all the professions and how they rate them? Do you know where they have, I think it's like 1 through 20. Do you know where they have ministers? 19. And below them is a car salesman. That doesn't say much for the office, does it? That's going to change if I'm around here. Because you're going to honor the office. And he's a man of God. A mighty man of God. He loves God with all his heart. It doesn't take long just to see his heart, right, Larry? You just see his heart right away. Him and his wife love God more than anything. And they're precious. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this to you, too. First, this comes up in my spirit. How many of you know I just let it come out of here?
Yes.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, the Apostle Paul speaking to the Thessalonians and said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to know those who labor among you. Amen.
Amen.
Labor among you. Now, he's talking about the offices. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't even intended to talk about it, but it sure sounds good to hear what he's saying. Amen. He ain't paying me. He said, Brother Chris, you get him to talk about that, I'll slip you an extra $200. No, it doesn't work that way with me. I wouldn't take it anyways. Amen. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to know those who labor among you. That means in the ministry. Now notice, now he goes on a little farther, who are over you in the Lord. That's why people don't stick around church too long. Because they don't have a heart of submission. I don't mean anything weird, fruity, flaky, nutty, or pastor beating you in the back room, I don't mean anything goofy like that. I'm just talking about having a heart of submission to be teachable. Amen? Listen to me, I'll tell you right now, you'll never develop to the fullest of your potential of the amazing plan of God in your life unless you allow yourself, listen to me, to hear from that office. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You'll be perfected in that office. Amen. It's good teaching already. That office has the capacity, gifted by God, empowered. The offices have bazookas and cannons and spiritual things to bring to the table to perfect you, to do that which is in your heart. Amen. But he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to know those who labor. You know how you know your pastor? Well, I'm going to go out to Applebee's and sit with pastor and get to know him. Well, that could happen, but it might not happen because he's a busy man. And that would be their hearts to go and do that. I know that. They're relational people, but they're awfully busy too. Do you know how you know your pastor? You pray for him. Isn't that right, Larry? You know this, don't you? Amen, bro. You know their heart. You know why you know them? Because the Spirit of God on the inside of you begin to show you their hearts. Isn't that right, Latrice? It is, isn't it? Bible says we don't look at any man after the flesh. It's in the Spirit.
That's right.
I get around 2 seconds. I know his heart. Instantly connect. Amen. Richard, instantly got in the car. Instantly connect. Know his heart. In the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Same spirit of faith.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen? And the Lord's going to do great things through you here, brother. Just getting started, man. And the building over there is yours. I'm going to hand it over to you and just give it to you. And so, Lord, does that bear witness with you? Okay, good. All right, well, that's just going to give you. Amen. Amen. So he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, to know those who labor among you, over you in the Lord, over you in the Lord. So in other words, God set this thing up that you would have a pastor and he'd be over you. And he would not do it of Lord over you. But the Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 17, it says to obey those who are over you in the Lord, who watch after your soul, because they have to give an account to you to the Lord. Right. Amen. 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 And it's not a weird message, it's a good message. Because there's a safety there. Because I got news, pastors are people experts. And they know a whole lot more than you think. Like you could be talking to them and saying, well, pastor, this, and they're, and God, the Holy Spirit, drop on them and give them revelation knowledge. Listen to me, they're experts in the realm of human behavior. They really are, more than you think. You could come over and sit down, we could talk. And just through whatever your situation, I could pretty much tell you how it's going to plan out. If it keeps running a certain direction, I could tell you, just because knowing human behavior and experience. Right, Larry, you know what I'm talking about, bro? In leadership. Not everything, you know. But there are certain human characteristics and patterns to certain things. After a while, you just say, well, this is going to turn out this way, and that's going to turn out that way, and it's going to turn out this way, and it's pretty much going to turn out that way if you just keep going this way. Yes. Amen? Yes. So all I'm saying to you is just stay teachable. Isn't that right? Everybody say teachable. I'm just following the Holy Ghost. This sure is good. Say, what's this got to do with revival? If you can't connect with the head, how are you going to flow? It's not even my message, but it sure is good to hear. Amen. Amen. Come on now. So he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, to know those who labor among you over in the Lord. And he says, now listen to what he says, to esteem them. Now the word esteem, I looked it up because I have a dictionary. Amen. Hey, come on. You know what it says? It says to show respect to, highly respect. Amen. So to esteem them very highly in the Lord. Now notice this, for the work's sake. So now notice the connection, because you esteem them. Not only do they give their life for the work, but for the work's sake, so the work can work. So it works. Because if you don't respect, it ain't going to work. Amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm. So in any case, I guess God led me to say a few things there just to esteem the office and esteem them as leaders. And then Hebrews 6:10 says that God's not unjust to forget your labor of love. That you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And the rewards will come. And the church will grow. And the money will come. And the door in the city, even greater outreach, will come into the city. And it's a season of great refreshing is coming to you. You've been working hard. You've been laboring hard. But the refreshing's coming. God's going to reward you for your diligence, bro. My pastor, my brother, he's going to reward you for your diligence. Amen. And the money will come. An increase will come. A season of great refreshing and great blessing will come to you and your wife in the ministry. And the revelation gifts will flow and function through you. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, revelation will function, and you'll prophesy and speak as you do, and lay hands on the sick and flow in the anointing and beat the devil into the turf. Amen? Amen. And don't be closed to change. I'm speaking by the Spirit now. Do not be closed to the changes he's trying to do. You know, there's things I've been talking to you about, and you say, oh, Lord, I don't. That's a little different for me. I don't know about all that. I'm just being honest with the Spirit saying. He said, go with it. Go with change. Let them have the reins and let them just take you into a whole new explosion of freedom in his plan and purpose for you. Amen? And those demons that have fought you, you have authority over them. And the warfare that's come from the time of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God suffered violent, but the violent take it by force.
Hallelujah.
In 1 John 3 and verse 8, the Son of Man appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of darkness. Amen. In Luke 10:17, I beheld Satan as a lightning bolt cast from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power, dunamis, and authority. Now notice this, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. And nothing, no squat diddly-doo, has any power over you. And Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, and no weapon formed against you can prosper, for your righteousness is of him. Now listen to this. Every tongue that rises against you shall be condemned, for that is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. Now, in Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I'm with you. Neither be dismayed, for I am your God. Now listen to this. There's three things. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you and uphold you through the right hand of my righteousness. And the next verse, 11. Those that strive with you, those that cause trouble for you, will not even be found. For I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. Your best days are yet to come. And the Lord's heard your prayers. And the money will even come for these meetings. And you won't even have to worry about anything. And there's certain debt and funds that's going to be canceled. You're going to do all debt free. I'm telling you right now. He's going to do everything debt free for you. It's going to be supernatural. You understand? When the blessing of the Lord comes, brings no sorrow with it. Amen? That's how he's going to do it with you. Like he's going to turn things over to you. FedEx. Yay! Some of you got it. FedEx. I just bring the message. The package is here. Amen? Amen. And all your children will grow up and bless you. Let's lift our hands and thank him right now. Let's just worship him for a minute. Lord, we just worship you and praise you and thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your mercy. Glory to God. Wow. Praise you, Father. Amen. How many of you sense his presence? Glory be to God. I didn't come here to do man's system. I come here to obey God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Y'all ready? You thought we were just getting started, right? You know, like some people just, they did. Okay, let's dismiss, you know. Over with. Let's go get Taco Bell or something. No. Let's pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this particular divine appointment that we have here. I thank God for this pastor and his wife and those that are here, Father, that have been sent by you to receive tonight, not from man, but from the Word and from you, Father. Tonight we lift up the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. And of course, you said if you be lifted up, you draw men to you. So we lift up the name of Jesus. At that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth. Father, we thank you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, under the Old Testament said, when the singers and trumpeters became as one, lifting their voice, saying, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, then the house was filled with a cloud, even to the point that the ministers couldn't stand, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. And we thank you, Father, right now for the glory of God that's in these services. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, it said, Solomon made an end to prayer. The fire came down from heaven, burnt the sacrifice and offering, and the glory of the Lord did fill the house to the point they couldn't even get into the meeting. And then Isaiah 40 and verse 5 and said, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Isaiah said, we'll all see it. We'll all see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And then, Father, we thank you. David said in Psalm 63, verse 1, 2, and 3, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, my for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, that's the condition of the world, to see thy glory and see thine power as I've seen in the sanctuary, for thy loving kindness is better than life. And then Stephen, speaking in Acts chapter 7, verse, I guess it's about the First verse, Stephen, and he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfast into the heavens and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father and saw the glory of God. And then you said in the Psalms, I guess it's 73, verse 24, said, "You will guide us with your counsel and afterwards receive us into glory land." Yes. And so we thank you. Haggai 2:8 said, "The silver and gold is yours, and the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former." That's the new creation man, filled with his glory, filled with his power, filled with his presence. We thank you for it. Yes. Lord, we thank you for unction and utterance tonight. Not our ministry, not our name, but the ministry of Jesus. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand this night. We thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles. And Father, we'll pray just like they prayed in Acts chapter 4, verse, I guess it'd be the 29th verse, when they were forbidden to speak in your name. "Now behold thy threatening, Lord, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness we may speak forth your word, stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders might be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they prayed, the place was shaken. So Father, pour out your spirit like Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they are one place, one accord. Suddenly, like a rushing mighty wind, you filled the house where they were seated. Verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, cloven tongues of fire. And it said there were devout men out of 17 different nations. Some were mocking, some were saying, "What does this mean?" But Peter, standing with the 11, said, "You men of Judea and Samaria, be this known unto you, these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is the third hour of the day, which is 9 o'clock in the morning, and only alcoholics drink at 9 in the morning, but that's us. But this is that." It's like, "This is that which is spoken of the prophet Joel some 80 years prior, Richard. Then in the latter days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." One generation. "Young men shall see visions." Another generation. "Old men dream dreams." Another generation. "And upon my handmaidens and servants in that day I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." And Father, we just love you tonight. And we just worship you. And we just praise you and thank you for what you're going to do in this service tonight. And through this ministry. And we thank you. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. It's all you, Lord. All you. We just, Jesus is what we want. We want the visitation that comes from the other realm. Supernatural realm. Word and spirit. Demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. And we just work. Just lift your hands for a minute. And just lift your hands. Close your eyes and lift your hands. It's starting to drop. It's starting to drop in the place right now. Amen. Glory be to God. How many of you can sense an anointing? I'll tell you right now, it's dropping in this place. In this here Catholic building. Glory to God. Man, if the Cardinals were here from the previous ownership, we'd really have something going on, wouldn't we, Richard? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. How many did? Amen. You know, your dominoes are bigger than my dominoes. I got to tell you the funniest story, just because my cousin's here, and then we'll go into what God has for us. You know, they used to have on 16th Street, my cousin. Was it 611, isn't it, your address? Still remember. We used to go there, you know, and have such a wonderful time, you know. All the years of great memories, and they had one bathroom in the house. Yes. It was the funniest thing, because, you know, had all these Italian kids, and all are running around, one bathroom, everybody. But I remember as a little kid, you know, we'd walk up the stairs, you know. Remember those? They had that little telephone. Had the telephone, dial-up telephone. It's still there, I'm sure. No? You got rid of it? Okay. Oh, man. Archive it. And I remember as a little kid, Pastor Richard, I'd walk up those stairs, and those stairs would squeak. You remember that? I was a little kid. You hear the squeaky stairs. That'd scare you, you know, a little bit. And then I turn the corner, and they go over there, and there's a picture of Jesus. Remember that picture of Jesus? How many of you remember them Catholic pictures of Jesus? Oh, my Lord. It'd just sit there and stare at you. And you'd move and the eyes would follow you. You remember that? Amen. Come on, let me remember that. I'd like to wet my pants every time I saw Jesus, you know. I just want to get right with God every time I walk up the stairway. You know, with the heart burning there. It's still there, isn't it? Thank God. Amen. Got rid of the phone, but the picture's still there. I used to, I said, what's that? Oh, yeah, there you go. I used to spook the life out of me, a little kid, you know. And the eyes would follow you, you know, and then I'd see those big, thick Bibles, you know, Catholic. I loved it all, you know. I still love it all. And, you know, those big angels, little kid, I'd just get spooked, you know. But now I'm not so spooked, you know. It's all good, isn't it? Aren't you glad your heritage, where you came out of? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I don't know. I just thought I'd share that. Because I know it. I know it'd get a laugh out of him because he walked past that picture and came in drunk a lot of times. And, you know? Didn't you? You came in drunk and saw Jesus and you get right with God, you know? His mom used, you know, our grandmother used to speak in tongues and wouldn't she? The whole family, they're all Catholics, all undercover Pentecostals, you know? You know, my grandmother was a nun. She left the nunnery and got married, and I don't know. Interesting, isn't it? I guess it runs in the family. But I ain't no nun, so don't be calling me no nun. Oh, boy, I can still see you coming and stumbling, you know? Miller Highlight and Jesus. Yeah, and your dad was right there too, right? Oh, boy. Any case. All right, we'll move along here. All right, several years ago, I was invited down into the area. It's the northeast here in this area down in Fredonia. And the pastors there just really love God. I don't know, do you know my Pastor Michael Laketic and Nancy? Do you know them? You should get to know them if you don't. They're precious people. They love the move of God. And they've birthed, I don't know how many churches now, Latrice. How many? How many? 12? Well, that's more than I know now, see? So he has a real apostolic thing. You guys should connect. I'm going to give you his number. We'll connect you. That'd be a nice connection, don't you think? And so, you know, I could still remember going there in the early years. His wife wasn't even filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember laying hands on her, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Now she's a preaching machine, you know? Now she'll just punch the devil out of you, you know? She was a little timid then. But nevertheless, you know, I'd gone there for years, and they have a lot of sister churches, I guess. I don't know how else to say it, you know, like a hub, and they have other churches they've planted. So after one of the meetings that we had there, one of the pastors, which would be your pastor, Pastor Tim, right, he came to me and pulled me aside. I guess he had gone to Pastor Michael and said, I'd really like to have Brother Chris come. Would it be okay? And he said, well, that's sure, that'd be fine. So actually, I think the Jamestown church is larger than it's, yeah, I don't know if it's outgrown it number-wise, but the building they have probably seats 600, something like that. Is it about right? I don't know. So in any case, they asked me to come, and I said I'd be delighted to come. So we set up a date, and they're just so gracious. So, like, they just really good people. So, you know, I flew into Buffalo. They rented me a car, and I drove all the way in. I had never been to Jamestown. Now, I guess that's where Lucille Ball, you know, that's her origin there, I guess. You know, I never really liked the show much, but sorry, but any case, moving along. And so they put me into a brand new hotel right in the city. There's like a golf course there, and then there's a hotel. You guys know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, and they put me in a beautiful room, and, you know, I went in, you know, Larry, they got all this coffee machines, and they got snacks, and they got, you know, fruit, and they got, and I'm low maintenance, you know, I fast. So pastors like having me in because I don't put up their bill too high. I'm just kidding. I fast and pray, and I eat afterwards, you know. So my motto is really, here's my motto, low maintenance, high output. There's a lot of people that are high maintenance, low output. Drama makers, but, you know. Any case, moving along. So, so you know, they put me in a hotel, and it's beautiful, you know, and they rent me a nice car and took care of me, and they got Starbucks coffee, and they got all this stuff there, and it's all set up beautifully, and I unload my bags, and I'm hanging stuff up, and And, you know, I just, for the services, like today, I just fast and pray. I pray all day long just for this one little window of time. I take my job serious, you know. Amen. I'm very serious about what I do. And so, you know, I've been in hotels. I've been in over 25 states of the nation. This year I got invited to Poland. I'll be going to Spain, France, and some different areas. We'll be going overseas this year, but I'm just invited in some areas. So, in any case. So, you know, you're in a lot of hotels and a lot of cities. And so I walked over and opened the curtain of the window because, you know, you got, like, my view is, I got a lot of views. Opinions. I'm talking about different views that you have from hotel windows. Some are beautiful, you know, some are less to be desired, but it don't matter. I just pray. But I opened the window and I looked out, and to my utter surprise, there was a graveyard. And I thought, this is encouraging. Wow, what a view, you know? I'm here for about four meetings, and I get to every day walk the floors praying in tongues till my tongue falls off. And I'm walking, and I get to look out in the graveyard. And I was, you know, we went into our services and whatnot, had services, whatever. And I was sitting there staring out the window in the Spirit of God. How many of you know when God drops? Anybody, you know when God drops on you, right? And the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit said this to me. Now listen closely what he said. He said, "Son, what will your life speak from the grave?" And it just jarred me. Are you listening to me? Now, you understand, you know, we got one life to live, and we have to make it count. Now, this year, 2018, I'm not trying to be negative, but I'll share a couple. Is this helping you? You with me? You're journeying with me, right? Okay. All right. This year, I lost both of my parents this year. I lost my mom, my dad in March. He was 90 years old, went home to be with the Lord. My daddy was a CEO. In fact, Larry, you worked under him for years, right? You worked as young, all of us did as kids. He was the president of Saraceni Drugstore, you know, and he had six partners underneath him, and they had three drugstores, and my dad was a businessman. And as much as they were pharmacists by trade, they were businessmen, really, more so. And it's all into all my cousins. All my cousins are successful businessmen and whatnot. But my dad retired at 63 and then became a chaplain and led thousands of people to Christ. Literally thousands of people, on their deathbeds. And it just blows my mind so effectively as a leader. But he passed away this year at 90. I had to oversee all that. And it wasn't easy. Have you ever lost somebody? Anybody lost anybody? Yeah. But we know, Paul said, for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain, he said in Philippians 1:21. He said, having a desire to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen? Amen. Now, so he lived out his days at 90. And then in September the 28th, my mom, who was the most beautiful woman that you'd ever want to find, she's just such a lover, such a giver, server. My dad, I got leadership from my dad, and I learned how to love from my mom and from Jesus. And the 28th of September at hospice, I literally watched her take her last breath. I literally watched her take her last breath and her spirit go home to be with the Lord. And, you know, when you go through some of those things, and some of you here probably could attest to it, right? You get a real realization of eternity and how important life is to live it right. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But to make it count. Listen to me, I am not a guy that wastes time. I'm not a frivolous guy. I'm very focused about what I do. I live on purpose. And I want to make my life count for eternity. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. You know, and then this year, which was kind of bizarre, I lost a board member at the first of the year. had a heart attack, just 56 years old, dropped dead of a heart attack. Now, I'll say this to you, and everything we talk about will be constructive. You understand? So stay with me. I had several words for him. I flow more in a prophetic office, in case you're wondering. And I had words for him to get his weight under multiple times through the years to get a hold. I'm not being critical. Everybody has their own physique and whatever is comfortable. I don't mean, there's nothing weird here. I'm not criticizing. I try to stay as disciplined as possible. Played college football. I'm a disciplined person. I'm going to stay disciplined all the days of my life. As long as I can, I will. You know. But I had words for him about making some changes. He let it get by him. He didn't make the changes. You know, a lot of those Italians had triple bypass surgery because eating all the high, rich cholesterol and all that kind of. You know, you learn, you get a little older, that's not healthy. Anybody raised Italian family? Eat. Christmas, 6-7 course. My mom was a gourmet cook. Larry could tell. And we'd have 6-7 courses. Huh? Mangia. Mingira, mangia. You're on the floor. You can't even breathe. You got to call, one of those emergency guys to get you up for round four. Oh, my God. We're going again. Really? Oh, Jesus. Let's go put the football game on. So, in any case, I don't know where I was going with all that. What was I doing? Life is important. Board member, he let it get by him. Had a heart attack. He dropped dead, 56 years old. You know, be good to keep ourselves, be disciplined what we're doing. Watch. You can't eat fast food 24/7 and all that junk. And you know what I mean? Start eating right. Start making good choices. Never too late. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, in any case, then, you know, I have another board member who flies his own plane. He has a Cessna. And he was flying from Dallas to Kansas. And his plane went down in Oklahoma, and he passed away. And then there was another friend, Italian friend, beautiful guy, who passed away. And he dropped dead out of the blue, just a heart attack. Boom, he's gone. And so, you know, and I'm not a gloom and doomer, you know, because the scripture says, Psalms 91 verse 16 said, with long life I'll satisfy you. Amen. And show you my salvation. Now in the Jerusalem translation, New Jerusalem says, life that's long and full. You understand? So there's a promise in the scriptures for long life, but it's predicated on making right choices. And then also Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10 says, the days of your life are 70, which would be 70, and then 10 would be 80, and if by reason, which would mean if you're being purposeful for God, you could ask God for more, and he would give it to you. That's why my dad lived to 90, because he was purposeful. He was out leading people to Christ. Gave him extra time. You know, when things start leaking and you start all that stuff, I'm ready to get out of here. I don't want to stick around when my body's leaking and all kinds of problems. I just want to get out of here and go home and be with the Lord. But listen to me, until when I'm down here, I'm going to get the job done. I'm like a focus. I'm like a dog on the hunt. We're going to do God's will. And listen to me, you've got one life to live. And it's not a time to play around. I don't care how, if you're young, whatever. It's time to get serious with God, because our days are numbered. Amen. So when he says in Psalms 90 verse 10, Richard, he says the days of our life are 70, that's 70 and 10 is 80, and if by reason of use is 80. And then verse 12 of that particular chapter, he says, so teach us, Lord. Now listen to that. There's instruction now. So teach us, Lord, to order our days. Everybody say, order our days. Now, how do you know the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord? Amen. And we should delight in his way. So teach us, Lord, to order our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Amen. So there's a promise of at least of 80 years, and if not more, predicated on your commitments. Now, when I was in that hotel room and I looked out and saw, and the Lord said to me, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, he said, son, what will your life speak from the grave? I began to think about that and really, like if they had your funeral today, about you. Well, yeah, he was a lazy bohunkus, and he didn't work, and he raised crummy kids, and you know, he's always borrowing money from hitting on people for money, or and he never could keep a job, or you know, he you know, His clothes weren't ever ironed. He looked like I slept in them. And then, you know, what would they say about you? Would they say, no, he was a man after God's own heart. She was a woman after God's own heart. She loved her kids. She loved her family. Do you understand what I'm saying? That person followed God. That person was a person of prayer. That person was a person of the Word. That was a person who loved people, who, you know, got out of their comfort zone and made an impact everywhere they went. They loved and impacted. You know, I made a decision years ago. I'm going to journey with a lot of people. I'm not going to be relationship poor. Mm-mm. You can be. I'm not going to be relationship poor, because the greatest commodity in the earth is people. Amen. And you want to get God on your life? Get involved with what matters to Him most, which is people. So I love people. Amen. Amen. I got a lot of entries on my phone. I journey with a lot of people on different levels. And it's all good. And all in order. Thank you. So he said, teach us, Lord, to order our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the principal thing, which means to do life God's way. How many want to do God's life, you know, life God's way? Because you could do it your way and you can do it, you know, God's way. And if you have a lightning fast mind, it shouldn't take you too long to figure out that if you do it God's way, it works. And when you do it your way, it doesn't work. Because there's a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but the end there is destruction. And so then it would be vital for you, listen to me closely, to go to the, you know, okay, let me just say it to you like this. How many of you own a car? Thank you. No horse and buggy here? There's an owner manual for that car. And there's parts for that car. And if you want to know how to function with that vehicle, then you would go to the owner's manual. Same thing's true of you. You have to go to the owner's manual. Amen. And you have to follow the one who created you, the creator who wired you, who made you, who has a supernatural architectural design that's so pinpointed, so precise, so defined. Amen. There's no one like you.
Right.
You're unique.
Amen.
There's over 5 billion people in the world. No two fingerprints are the same. Every blade of grass, none the same. God, listen to me. When two sparrows fall to the ground, God knows about it. The hairs of your head are numbered. You are His beloved. What is this man? And Psalms 8 says that thou art mindful of the Son of Man that thou dost visit. God is in the visitation business. God wants to come, the creator and the maker of your life, and begin to show you, reveal to you His divine architectural design over your life, that you will become fruitful for eternity and fulfilled. Are you listening to me? But you have to find it. Are you listening? So Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says, Jeremiah said it like this, I know the plans I have for your life, saith the Lord of hosts. Not plans for calamity or for evil, but for a future. Aren't you like that? So the Knox translation says, I alone know the plans that I have for your life. So wouldn't it be good to get alone with I alone to get the plan or the next direction or the things that He's leading you in, because the steps of a good man or woman in order of the Lord. So when I was in Jamestown and I look out the window and I see a graveyard and the Lord says to me, what? Are you listening? What will your life speak from the grave? Then you have to realize the value of a human life and how valuable you are. So now, Jeremiah 29:11, let's go back there. I know the plans that I have for your life. Let me put it to you like, God knows the design, the guidance, the course, purpose, what you're supposed to do. Well, brother, I'm 68 and I'm done. You come to the wrong service, because I'll kick you right in the pants and get you going. You're just getting started. My grandmother was in her 90s handing out tracts. When she worked for a drugstore. Grandma, you know, you get Grandma Stella. Remember? Boy, Grandma loved the Lord, you know? Kurt, you remember her, don't you? I mean, you could be talking to Grandma, she'd be eating her salad, and she'd just spit it all over you. Salad bouncing off your forehead. Oh, Chrissy. Tomatoes, carrots hitting you in the head. Yeah, she done love the Lord real good. You have to go take a shower after you talk to Grandma. Bless her heart. She did love the Lord. She went home to be with the Lord. She, I can still see her right now. Oh, what a doll. Any case, so he knows the plans he has for you. Not plans for calamity, for evil, but for a future and a hope and an expected end. You say, well, Brother Chris, I have no idea what the plan is. Well, good. Glad you brought that up. Jeremiah, just skip over now a few more chapters, 33. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me. Did you know that's God's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3? He said, call and put that in your cell phone, honey. Call unto me. He said, call unto me and I'll answer you. Listen to this. And I will show you great and mighty things. See, God always does things that are great and mighty. And he says that thou knowest not of yet. So do you actually, stop for a minute. Do you realize that God has great and mighty things that you don't even know yet? Now the Amplified Bible says things that are fenced and hidden in the heart of God for your life. Well, you know, brother, God's got a big fence up and I can't get it. No, it's religious bohunkus. God's not holding things from you, he's holding things for you.
Amen.
That you have to seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen. Come on, that's
good. And his righteousness. And all things will be added to you. He said, call unto me and I'll answer you. Listen to this, and I'll show you. The will of God is not hide and seek, it's show and tell.
Yes, it is.
But you have to go and get hungry for God. Amen. It's the top of the year. Come on, we just transferred. We just stepped over from 218 to 219. Do you want the same thing you had last year or do you want change? Because if you want the same thing you had last year, just keep doing the same thing. But if you want change and you want to see the presence of God, the language of the Holy Spirit is dreams and visions. So if you get alone with God, he's going to start birthing new things. He's going to stir up things from the past that you still have inside of you that you still have to do for God. And he's going to now bring things. The Holy Spirit is an illuminator. Are you listening to me? He takes the things that are in the heart of God and he deposits and transfers them into your heart to illuminate like a pneumatur, I call it. You know what a pneumatur is? It's a spirit tour, like when you get in, start praying in tongues. How many, anybody pray in tongues in here? All three of you. Your spirit is like a digital camera, and when you pray in tongues, you start getting snapshots of the realm of the spirit and the plan. What eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, all is the end of the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for you. He's revealed those things to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. You want the design, you want the plan, you want his will, you want productivity, fruitfulness. You must get the mind of God.
Amen.
Psalms 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build a house, they that labor in vain. Notice the house got built, but it wasn't the Lord. They build it themselves. I don't want no Ishmael. We've all had Ishmaels. I want Isaac. Isaac means laughter. It means joy. Remember God spoke to Abraham. He said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 90. So just remember, whatever God calls you to do, in the natural, you will be impotent to get the job done without the grace and power of God. He'll always call you to do something that you can't do in the natural that you need his help. Abraham's like, Lord, well, I could say some things here, but Lord, there's no Viagra. I'm done. I lost a few of you there. All right, I'm sorry. That was inappropriate. I'm just talking the mechanics now. The mechanics don't work. All right, I lost y'all there. Come on, cut it out. You would think that yourself in the car. You just wouldn't say it in church. The mechanics, it don't work. I got a few of you loosened up on that one. Some of you wrote me off. All right. Sorry. I'm just trying to help you to see that mechanically, in the natural, you don't have the goods without God. And you can't get the job done without God. But whatever He calls you to do, whatever He bursts on the inside of you, supernatural by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, if you will tap into the mind of God and listen to Him and pray and tap into the will and the wisdom and the insights and begin to pray and perceive and put feet to it.
Amen.
It will come. And you'll bring forth a child. So then Sarah has a great idea. She says, look at here. She starts viewing it in the natural. Because if you view things in the natural and you start rationalizing, well, we could do it this way and we could do it this way because this ain't going to work. And God said this, for let's be God. Let's play God. So he gives her a handmaiden, Hagar, and says, here you go. And then Abraham probably said, well, praise the Lord. Is this how you want it done, Lord? No. Duh. He went with it. And you understand, now listen to me. They brought forth a child, but it wasn't the plan of God. Are you listening? And they brought forth Ishmael. So they birthed something, but it wasn't God, was it? Richard, it wasn't God, was it? It was something birthed of the flesh. It was man's idea. Sarah. Sarai. And they brought something into the earth, which is the whole Islamic nation, if you want the truth of it. In Genesis 18 says that Ishmael will be a wild child. Are you listening to me? You can't tame Ishmael. And remember this, listen to me closely. Whatever you birth in the natural, you can't tame it. It runs wild, and you wished you never did it. Now, but remember, because somebody was, you're against Islam. No, listen to me. I'm not against Islam, because Jesus loves him.
Amen. Right.
And he said he would bless Ishmael for Abraham's sake,
That's right.
And he did, right, Kurt? And the way he did it was he gave him oil in the Middle East. Amen? So he blessed them with wealth. And I believe that God's, listen to me closely. I'll tell you about the Spirit of God. There's coming a revival of the move of God to the Islamic world, and people are going to turn from serving Satan, and you know, which is to kill the infidel. No, we don't kill. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. They're following after the creature rather than the creator. They're following after Satan's agenda. But they're going to come to Christ, and there's going to be a move of God amongst the Islamic world. Are you listening to me? It's going to come.
Amen.
You know that, don't you? Because you're going to go. You know that, don't you? So in any case, not to get too sidelined there, but my point is this. You have a choice whether you're going to birth out Isaac or Ishmael. No, if you go to the graveyard, and you say, like, somebody's lifespan, you say, like, 1930, whatever, 8, and there's a slash, which speaks of your lifespan. And then, you know, when I was at that hotel, I literally walked out into that graveyard, and I started, because God was showing me something, I said, well, let's push the pallet here a little bit. I'm walking through a grave, and I'm not going to go out there and dig up graves or something goofy like that, like some of these weirdos. But I was walking, I was looking at different gravestones, and I began to look. I said, Lord, and the thoughts came to me. I wonder if that person served God. I wonder if that person's in heaven or hell. I wonder what that person did with their life. And it was overwhelming to me, actually. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Now, anybody ever heard of Dr. Summerall? Dr. Lester Summerall made a statement one time, I'll never forget it. He said, the graveyard has two voices. Here's what it is. I've been where you're at, and you're coming to where I'm at. Did you get that?
Amen.
And so there will come a time when you will finish out your days and you either go to your maker, whom you served, or you'll go to hell, one or the other. But to me, it's more than just like sliding in, just making it. Are you listening to me? You know that. It's not about just sliding in and making it. Live like the devil and in the end, just repent, slide in, say, well, we made it. No, there's crowns to be gotten in the realm of the other life. And there's a domino effect. Your obedience affects people. Like Pastor Richard and his wife. His obedience is domino affecting into the next generation. Amen? Right, Kurt? My good friend Kurt in the back, we grew up together. And he's a great blessing. And his obedience has led him. He's an all American wrestler, great athlete. And he's influenced thousands of people for Jesus. See the domino effect out of obedience. Amen? And so James says this. He says it like this. What is your life? What is your life but a vapor that appears for a moment and it's gone? They're making reference to say, we're going to go to such and such city and start a business there and do this and do that. He said, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, you'll go do this and you'll go do that. People, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, God is not blessing our plans. He's blessing His plans.
Yes, He is. Come on.
He's not. And you know, the Lord will bless us as much as He can because He's just a wonderful Father. But He's in the business of, you know, He's going to bless. He's not going to bless our plans. People get to work up all their, you know, Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and ways above your worries. We're thinking about pencils, He's thinking about forests. We're thinking about a bottle of water, He's thinking about oceans. We're thinking about stars, He's thinking about galaxies. Now unto Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. He's the Lord God. Is there anything too hard for Him? My point is many times we're thinking our little pea brain plans and all our agenda, and God says, would you please lay it all aside and seek me and get a hold of me? Are you listening to me? So when Dr. Summerall said that the graveyard has two voices, I've been where you're at, you're coming where I'm at. It's very sober. Because like I said earlier, Psalms 91:16, with long life He'll satisfy you, but your days are numbered. And I don't know about you, I want to make them count.
Amen.
Now, United Negro Fund has a statement. They say this, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. I say a life is a terrible thing to waste.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? As far as I know, I've done everything I know how to maximize my life and push it to the limit towards the things of God. Not perfect. Human, but I've done my best to follow hard after Him. Are you listening to me? And make it count. Now, I've said it like this. The first 30 years of your life is where you acquire knowledge, information. You get download of facts. You found your assignment. You figure out who you are. You learn. You educate. You embark on a journey of understanding of what to do in your field or whatever God's assignment. Everybody say assignment. The second 30 years is a multiplication of that assignment. Begin to invest. Begin to multiply. You have money in the bank. You have a house. You have a family. You multiply. You increase. You soar. Are you listening to me? Take what God's given to you, your talents that have been given from above. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, the Father of lights, and there's no veritable. And you multiply that. Now listen to me, in the last 30 years, you give it all away. Now listen to me, and it's important. If you miss it on the first 30, You roam the earth as a nomad. You can. That doesn't mean God can't get a hold of somebody and change somebody. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not, you know, God's too powerful for that, to limit that. But how vital it is to know where you're going. Because I found out years ago, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And Paul said, I'm not the kind of guy that shoots or aims, you know, aimlessly. He said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Something high is calling you from the other realm. It's higher than where you're at right now.
Amen. Come on.
It's more purposeful. It has greater depth. It's of His heart. His hand is on you for purpose. Eternal purpose. To impact. Are you listening to me? I always tell young people, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. I have one sibling right now that I love with all my heart, but he missed it on the first 30 and he's struggling terrible. It breaks my heart. Makes me want to cry. So gifted, so talented. Was accepted to Bible school twice. And he missed it for a girl. Some little foo-foo.
Hey, hey.
Let me say something to young people. Let me tell you, young girls, if some guy wants you, he's going to have to go so far into God and be stripped of all his carnality and all his flesh to find you.
Come on.
I love you.
Give me a barf bag, will you? I'm sorry. My brother's life was stolen from little Delilah. I don't know why I'm saying it, but watch out.
Well, I'm in love with him.
No, you're not. You don't even know what love is. You're not in love with him just because you've been on Snapchat with him. Or Instagram. Or that's why I can't stand social media. I like it for the purpose of promoting the gospel. For most of it, it's all out of order, bohunkus, junkus. People talking to people shouldn't be talking, out of order conversations. So out of order. It's really good, Brother Chris. Amen. The King is coming! Think Jesus is going to be on Snapchat? Why don't you get a Snapchat aligned with Him and pray in tongues till He Snapchats you His will? Got a few claps on that one. Come on now, I'm speaking out of my spirit the right things.
Yes, you are. Come on.
Amen? Amen.
True.
So a life is a terrible thing to waste. And I ain't going to get derailed from some foo-foo. And there's some people, they'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. And if you're hurting, going through something, they'll tell you exactly what you want to hear to try to steal you away from God. And you have to learn the hard way sometimes. Mm-mm. No more. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. No more. God's plan is greater than that. Don't you think He's big enough to bring your husband or your wife to your front door? Somehow or another, cross your pathway or something? I don't know why. You guys are messing me up tonight. Let Him bring it. When the blessing of the Lord comes, it brings no sorrow with it.
That's right.
The three greatest decisions you'll make is who you serve, who you marry, and your vocation. If you hit it all three, you're doing pretty good. You'll do pretty good. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen?
Amen.
Is this helping you tonight? So a few years back, I flew to Minneapolis. Prester Mack and Lynn Hammond. Do you know the Hammonds? Okay. And they have an inner city church. And the inner city church, have you been there to Mack Hammond's? Yeah, okay. And they have an inner city church. It was in Rolling Stone magazine. And seats about 2,000. It's in the inner city. And they bring in all these bands, Larry, in the world, and they play music and the Christian stuff, and they invited me to come. So you literally, like on a Friday night, it's like insanity. You walk out the front door, it's insanity in the city. It's like hell, literally. That's how it sounds. It's thumps, darkness. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. But there's this church right in the middle there. It's called 3 Degrees. Cold, hot, or lukewarm, I guess that's what it is. And they do Christian rock bands and everything. And so I went there and I ministered. So the pastors picked me up, you know, from the airport. Pastor Rodney, I don't think he's been there, but he's been to the main church too. And I sat, and they picked me up at the airport, and I sat in the car. And the word of the Lord came to me. Do you know what the word of the Lord is? It's when the Spirit of God drops on you and tells you something. The word of knowledge is present past, word of wisdom, present future. There's 9 manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. I ain't got time to teach on all that, but thank God for the gifts of the Spirit in the last days too, right? We need that. We could just take a whole week and just teach on that and take that apart, you know? And maybe we should. I don't know. But so I sat in the chairs in the back seat of the car, and the word of the Lord came to me. And the word of the Lord came to me, and it said, the Lord said, I have another building for them. So I was like, oh, okay. So FedEx, you know what FedEx does? It brings a package. So I just sat down. I said, you know, I didn't say, thus saith the Lord. A bunch of these flakes, you know, weirdos. You know, there's a lot of things God tells me I just say casually. I'll draw attention to yourself to be, you know. I said, you know, I just, you know, we small talk a little bit. I said, you know, I really feel like God's got another building for you. And his wife said, don't say that! I was like, holy gee. I said, oh, let's change the subject. How about them Yankees, you know? She said, well, we've been believing God for this building. This is our building. The devil can't take it. Okay. I was just talking out of here, you know. I didn't come for a fight or nothing like that. I just came to help and be a blessing. I just said a few words. I said, okay. So we did meetings, powerful meetings. God moved, wonderful things. A month later, they called me and said they were evicted out of the building. Now, let me tell you. Now, but here's the deal.
I love it.
What was the Lord doing? Now, I'm saying that for a reason, not to criticize them, because we've all done it. They were believing God for something and pressing hard for it, and God knew that wasn't going to be that way. And God, and of course, God already had another building for them. It wasn't right after that. God put them in another building, which was better than that building, was better for them, better rent, less cost, and everything. We see sometimes, why'd you say that? Because there's a way that seems right in your mind. And you could just plan it all out and think, oh, I'm fighting devils in the heavenlies, you know, go put army fatigues, fly in the airplanes, cast them down, all that flaky, weird stuff. No, the mind of God. See, I was conveying the mind of God to them.
Amen.
To prepare them.
Amen.
See, God was showing me, show you things to come.
That's right.
Right? John 16, verse 13, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come? Well, he done come. He'll not speak on his own behalf, but that which he hears, he shall speak, and he shall show you things to come.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So God was dropping that in my spirit, to try to encourage them that there was change coming, But they were so entrenched in putting their feet down to stand on that building's ours, and we're, and which is good. There's times when you need to do that. When God's, and you got the mind of Christ, you stand.
Amen.
But God had something different.
Amen.
Now, what's the issue there? I'm not criticizing leadership. My God, the first half of the service, would I'd be a hypocrite if I was. That's not where I'm coming from. What I'm trying to say is this, that God had another plan for them, but they had their feet stuck in a certain plan because their head was on something versus their heart. You got it? Amen. All right. This is helping you, right?
It is.
All right. So we need the mind of God. Everybody say, we need the mind of God. I have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Every day I have the Word, and the Spirit speaks the mind of Christ to me. Now, Isaiah 66 and verse 8 says this. You still with me? We're almost done. I mean, I could just keep teaching. We'll teach till, you know. But blessed are the short-winded, they'll be invited back. First book of Pastor Rich, chapter 3, verse 7, 8, and 9. Where the Spirit of the Lord is at liberty, right? You can actually laugh in church. Some people go to church like a mannequin at Foley's. Dillard's. Any case, where was I? Isaiah 66, verse 8. You thought I forgot. Now, Isaiah says something very, and I'll wrap it up with this and we'll close it down. I think. Isaiah said it like this in verse 8. He said, who has heard such a thing? He said, who has seen such a thing? Shall a nation be, shall the earth be brought forth in a day? No. Shall a nation be brought forth in a day? Well, you know the earth was brought forth, what, 6 days? God rested on the seventh. What does that speak of? Process.
Yes.
You are a process in work. Your life is a process in work. You are a process. You are today a process of what you've learned and been through. If you see a turtle on a fence, he didn't get there by himself. Somebody helped him get up there. So you're a byproduct of a stream of people speaking into your world, helping you in God's plan and work. Isn't that beautiful? You like that, don't you? Yeah. Shall a nation be brought forth overnight? Of course not. America is 242 years old. That sounds like process, doesn't it? A few years. England is 3,500 years old. Did you know that? China, 5,000 years old. Russia, 5,000 years old. Can't even talk right now. Getting a little loopy. France is, did you know France is 900 years old? Yeah? Italy? France is 1,400 years. Italy is 900 years old. Did you know that? Israel, 3,300 years old. Let me ask you a question. Does that speak of process?
Amen.
So the plan of God and the mind of God is process. And you have to stay in the game and keep processing.
That's right.
To birth out the next step. To get the next instruction. You can get instruction for one step, but you have to keep processing. You have to keep going back to the mind of God. You have to keep praying and say, look, this is the first of the year. You know, you got to get in with God.
Amen.
Can't sit there and watch HBO all day long and have more G.O.D. or soap operas as the stomach turns. The Days of Our Strife. The Young and the Toothless. Sit there and feed on all that garbage and you're going to follow God? I mean, you know, football was my goal, you know. I don't even barely watch the NFL. I could give a flip. I don't even know the players anymore. Most of the time on Sunday I'm working anyways. Are you there? You see how what a change, what a metamorphosis? I wanted to play pro ball. I could care less about it. I'm on the dream team right now. Come on. Now notice what the rest of it says now. Until Zion travailed. Now Zion is always the church, right, bro? Until Zion, you know Zion's always the church. Until Zion travailed. Now the word travail there means, it's always referencing to prayer. She brought forth no child. Let's stop and think about that for a minute. Zion, church, travail, prayer. She brought forth nothing. I was there. I watched three of my girls come into the world. Like to pass out the first time. When they were handing out the, what do they call that? When they, no, they give them the shot. What's that? Epidural. I told the doctor to give me one in the forehead. Oh, Jesus. But I cut all them, you know, umbilical cords. Some of you need to cut the umbilical cord to your associations and go to God now. Manipulate to get money. Well, just go tell them, well, you know, I got this problem. Why don't you go to God and stop manipulating? Cut the umbilical cord.
Well, if I just tell them enough, I did this and I need that. Praise the Lord, I'm just telling you so you'll pray, what, whatever.
No, you manipulator. Go to God. He's your source. Oh, well. You still with me? Now, I joke around a lot of times, but with friends, you know, tell them they're behind and they're sowing into the ministry. I goof around with them. But that's the joke. But listen to me. Until Zion travail, you're not going to birth anything out of you. Do you know the throne of your spirit is your belly? Do you know that when a woman gives birth, the child comes into the belly? There's a parallel in the spirit. And when a woman goes into travail, when she groans until she pushes that thing that's on the inside out and gives birth. I got news for you. You're pregnant with God's plan. Amen. His purpose for you is grand. It's large. It's on the inside, but you have to travail and give birth to that baby. Zorobonde zikrando robosto. Ezavrabonje gridiste kaparamonzo. Ezavidiste karamanonze rebo. And you pray and you give birth and the inside of you, and then you start going on the pneumatour, and you start snapshot. I saw, oh my God, I saw the nations. I saw, oh my God, I'm supposed to work in the nursery. God's going to use me in this area in business. I'm going to make millions or whatever it is you're called, the assignment. And you see it, and then you pray, robusto, and then you mix your words to it. For what eye has not seen, ears not heard, the things which entered in the heart of man, the things, but God's revealed those things to you by the Spirit. And then the Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you, the things that you put your faith to are the things that He shows you in your heart. Amen. Now, some things are just common sense, divine healing. You need healing in your body. It's divine. You don't have to go pray, Lord, is it your will? Is it your... No, you already know. But I'm talking about the plan and purpose of God where you don't know some things. I mean, He sent His word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. He wishes above all things you prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every manner of sickness and disease among them. Isaiah 53:5, He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fell upon Him. With His stripes, we are the healed of the Lord, right? Amen? Amen. Jeremiah 30:17, He said, Heal 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, O Lord, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Jeremiah 30:19. I'll restore health unto you and heal you of all your wounds. Yeah. So you don't have to pray about that. That's already clear. But when it comes to direction and you're not clear, you got to do the GPS system. The GPS. You got to go that way. You know the GPS? You put the destination in, and then you got to step in. And you look at that thing, and why isn't it talking to me? Am I right?
That's right.
Why not? The thing's moving. Well, talk! In the next quarter mile, get off exit 75. GPS. The same thing with the Holy Ghost. He'll show you the destination, but you have to follow the GPS. Are you there? And so you have to walk by faith and not by sight. But God's always going to give you the big picture. And that's what I'm appealing to. And so, if you're listening, the spirit of man's a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the body. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You listen. The throne of your spirit man's out of the belly. So remember, the plan, just like a woman that gives birth out of the belly, so too the plans of God, you give birth through the belly. And until Zion travailed, which means until you get in your prayer closet and get alone with God and pray till your tongue falls off, and you keep praying till you get something.
Amen. Come on.
Until you get imagery and direction and guidance and get the steps or the plan, you won't bring forth anything.
Amen.
You'll bring forth Isaac. You'll bring forth Ishmael, but not Isaac. Just be all in your head. You just be all in your head. One thing about me, I don't just operate all in my head. It's my heart. I'm always reaching. How many of you know what I'm talking? I'm always reaching down here. Hello, come on, out of your belly. On that last day, great day, Jesus stood up and cried. Tears down his face, not cry volume, tears. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. For this he spake of the Spirit that was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified, for out of your belly. Notice the location. Until Zion travailed, she brought forth no child, shall flow rivers, plural, because God's in the multiplicity of leadings. If you're a one-track guy, you can only do one thing, you're going to have to get, God's going to like ruffle your feathers and mess your head up. Because God's a multitasker. And I'm a multitasker. I can spin plates all over the place. Because you have to listen and act, and you have to run, and you have to hear, and you have to know, and you have to listen. Yeah. The strategies of darkness come at you. You have to hear. You have to listen. You have to maneuver. You have to be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. You have to know what God's saying. You have to move quick. I have people call me, ask me things going through. I say, fast information. Take fast hold of instruction. Listen to the central headquarters, the CIA. The central intelligence of God.
Amen.
Down here. You listen.
Yes.
For as many as are led by the Spirit, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And Psalms 29 verse 3 says, the voice, everybody say voice, of the Lord is on the many waters. That's pretty good. So when you pray in tongues, guess what? Rivers in the natural realm go downstream. Rivers in the supernatural stream go upstream. Rabasto, kubrosti karamanzi, zevrodom. And you pray, guess what? Out of your belly. Did you know your tongue is attached to your heart? It never does go above your nose. That got some of you. It never does go above your nose. That's where people get in trouble with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, up in their head going, I don't know how this is, doesn't work. You know, this is weird. I don't know. Out of your belly shall flow. Robosto. Karabanze. Ribisto. Cambrando. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living in waters. Are you kidding me? Paul said, I thank my God to speak in tongues more than y'all. He said, forbid not to speak in tongues. Are you kidding me? That man went to bed speaking in tongues. He woke up speaking in tongues. He's in the shower speaking in tongues if they had him. You know, you need to pray in tongues all the time because you will tune up and listen and tap into the realm of the intellect, of the supernatural intellect, the CIA of God, the mind of God, who transfers information from the heart of God into your brain.
Amen.
Have you ever been sitting there and all of a sudden a thought comes from on the inside and it comes and you go, oh, didn't think of that. Came down here, didn't it? Because you know what I'm talking about. I got news for you. That's how it works.
Amen.
Down here. Until Zion travailed, the church, she brought forth no child. So guess what? And I tell you this much, and I mentioned it earlier, but God can also give you like an ultrasound. So while you're praying, while that thing's growing in you, he'll start defining it. Is it a boy or a girl? Ah. Is it Europe? Is it France? Is it Italy? Is it to go into business with this partner? Whatever. Ultrasound. You will see into the plan of God. You know the word intimacy? I read it one day. Like 1 Corinthians. I'm almost done. Come on now. I mean, the book of Acts, Acts 5, they had a meeting. It was 5 hours, 6 hours long, you know? So hang in there, okay? First Corinthians 1:9. I'm almost done. Just to reassure you. Which I know you don't feel real assured at all. Oh my God. I can sense it in the room. It said, God is faithful. Aren't you glad? His faithfulness is to 1,000 generations. And when you're unfaithful, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. He said, God is faithful, who's called us. Everybody said, called you. Do you know God is still calling for people?
Yeah.
The trees. God's calling you into fellowship. Fellowship. The word fellowship means koinonia. Koinonia in the Greek. You know what that means? Intimacy. Intimacy. Everybody say intimacy. I read it one day in the word intimacy, and the Lord said, you know what he said to me? Listen to what the Spirit of God said. He said, into me see. I was like, okay. I got it, Lord. Into me see. Into me see. Into me, see. How many want to see what he has for you?
Yeah. Amen.
Just a little bit, huh, Richard? Oh, my God. The king is coming. Listen to me. If you only knew what he's planning for you, if you had. If you only knew how exciting. Listen to me. If you don't know the purpose of a lawnmower, you'll cut your foot off. If you don't know the purpose of a car, you'll drive it into a wall. You'll abuse it. If you don't know the purpose of your life, you'll misuse it. You were not created to misuse your life. And how do you know God causes all things to work together good? I don't care about your past. I could give a flip. All I care about is where you're going.
Amen.
I don't care about your mistakes. Neither does God. For I have an eye, am he who blots out thy sins and iniquities. I'll remember no more.
Right.
As far as the east is from the west,
yes.
So has he removed your transgressions.
Yes.
Into the sea of forgetfulness. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. You say, God, some people are getting into God, I'm so sorry. And, okay, but this is year 45 on the same thing, okay? God forgot about it. And we're touched with the feelings of your infirmities. And God is too, but there comes a point where you're going to have to snap out of it and start focusing. With every setback, you don't sit back.
That's right.
You're back in the game.
That's right.
And guess what? You just got a great education what not to do. And you can help other people what not to do. And let it be covered under the blood, and you just rejoice that the Lord's not holding anything. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the intimacy. Let me tell you something. God has things for you to see that are specific for you that no one else can access except you. People might pick up on it. Pastors might say, I see this over you. But until you see it and illuminate and let the Spirit of God illuminate those things to you and you put feet to it and start following it and start getting courageous and be bold to go after God, even though you're pregnant with something, you won't give birth to it. That's why people say, he's a dreamer. You could dream, but you got to put feet to your dreams. Because nothing happens unless you work out your salvation with trembling and fear. So you got to get, you have to find the plan, and you have to birth it out. If you got to write the vision down, make it plain, they that read it can run with it. If the people don't, without a vision, the people perish. Amen. The Message Bible says they stumble and fall all over themselves. Amen. But guess what? God's a visionary. And he speaks into you, and he gives you the plan. He's going to use you just yet. He's not done with you. And you're going to impact and touch lives all over this city. And you're going to do it by the power of God. And you're going to do it by the presence of God. And the anointing is going to fall on you. You're going to walk into Wally World or Walmart or wherever you go. And the anointing will drop on you, and you sit across from somebody and just start reading their mail and start talking to them about the things of God. And how do you know all that? How did you know that? Well, God knows it. And you just share with people. Listen, it's time to start. People need to start witnessing their faith. Oh, well. Judas denied Christ. Will we deny him without speaking? I don't know. I've talked long enough. Let's lift our hands. Did you get anything out of this tonight?
Yes, sir.
Listen, I'm one happy white boy right now. I'm looking for trouble, you know. I'm going to pick a fight. We're going to chase the devil off. And amen. Amen. For the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Amen. Oh, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. What about doing good? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The devil has no power over you. He can't stop you. He cannot stop you. I don't care if you've been divorced. I don't care what it is. He can't stop you unless you quit. If you're on the track team, he'll make you number one if you put him first and work hard and got the goods. You put Jesus first. You put Jesus first. You seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for the great things that you've done tonight in that which was of your word. Thank you for the anointing that's here tonight. Thank you, Lord, that in the realm of the Spirit there is no time. It's eternal. And the anointing will hold people. It'll hold them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Here comes the power of God. Watch, it's going to drop fast in here. You don't really realize, but you've been getting marinated anyways for the most of the service. You know, you cook a good steak, you got to marinate it. Some people got some tough areas, you got to get marinated. Then Jesus throw you on the grill and he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's a joke. How many of you know God can move right in the middle of humor? The anointing is falling into place. Latrice, the hand of God's on your life. God's heard the cries of your heart to be married. And he's going to bring you a spouse that has the hand of God on him. And it will be not like what you thought, for you've prayed, Lord, when? Lord, when will it happen? When will it come? It's been so long, Lord. Why? Is there something wrong with me? No. And there's been times when you've tried to reach and go in certain areas, but it hadn't been God, and you knew it on the inside all along. But Lord's going to show you what to do, where to go, and there's healing in your hands, and there's fire on you for the kingdom of God. And even in times, some leaders have actually overlooked you, but the hand of the Lord is upon you, And you'll preach the word and speak the word and teach by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's going to move heaven and hell to bring to pass the things that are in your heart. But stay pure and holy before God and walk with singleness of mind. And remember, it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And there's been some dark days where you'd said, Lord, I just can't even do this anymore because it's so frustrating that I can't even seem to get to that place of which You've called me to. But remember, Paul said, I'd often come to You, but Satan hindered me. Some hindrances have come from people. Some hindrances have come because of choices. Some hindrances have come because of sometimes just even personality. People don't understand You. Come out here for a minute. Let's lift our hands. Come on. I have to obey God. I'll be pulled like a magnet towards people. Now, go back to the things that I told you years ago that are in your heart and do only that which is only what the Spirit tells you to do. And drink in the Spirit and pray and spend time with Me. And if you have to walk alone, you walk alone to do that which is God, but you won't. You won't have to. And there's music in your heart to worship and to praise Him and to celebrate God. You've learned a lot of good lessons, haven't you? Even in these recent years, God's shown you things. But it's for a valuable purpose and use, and God will cause it all to work together for good. Now, just so you know, this is from the Lord. He adores you and loves you for who you are. He made you the way you are. Some people, they've misunderstood you, but they don't understand the dynamics of how you're wired. But it's all good, God does. So take the anointing right now. This is a season of increase now, even in the financial arena, because you have desires to increase mightily in the financial arena. You know that's true, don't you? And there's going to be contacts that come to you and network. You're a networker, my God. And the networking will produce for the kingdom of God, but there's a higher connection to it all. And the Lord sees your heart to be used of Him. And there'll even be things. You'll even do things overseas. Take the anointing. Amen. I think you're going to have to develop a prayer catcher team or something like that. Richard's doing good. Just let her lay under the anointing. Lift your hands right now and just worship Him. If you're here right now and you've been battling with, you've been under such attack, like such oppression or depression and such assaults against you right now, just quickly stand to your feet. Quickly. You're in a season right now of such warfare. You're like, I got to get help right now, tonight. Just quickly stand to your feet. You're not sleeping at night, and you have even anxiety attacks. Quickly, it hits you. It's like it's just fear comes on you and overwhelms you. Quickly, stand to your feet. I'm following the Spirit of God. Just obey God. Quickly, stand to your feet. Obey. Don't worry about what people think. The greatest deliverance you get is getting delivered from the opinion of man. Quickly, stand to your feet. Depression, not sleeping at night, oppression. Quickly. Fighting with depression. Come on. Obey God. Oppression or depression. You've been depressed. Stand to your feet. There's more. There's four of you that need to be up. I'll tell you right now. I'll give you the number. Four of you. There's one. There's three other people dealing with depression. Just stand to your feet. Obey God. Just hold 1 second, Joan. Just a minute, honey. You're doing good. Just wait a minute. There's three other people. Quickly. Three other people. Stand to your feet. Dealing with depression. There's another one. There's more. Okay. Quickly, if that's you, come down here. Let's just come to the altar. I'm going to lay hands on you. Quickly. Just obey God. Come on. We won't hurt you. Just come on down here if you've never been. Just 1 second. Quickly, come to the altar. Ushers, you just come. Dealing with depression, oppression. Come on up here. Step right up close to the altar. We'll just make room. Quickly, let's lift your hands and thank God. The anointing is still falling. So just stay close, honey, okay? You did great. The anointing is still falling. Now line them up straight so we don't have like car accidents up here. Just use wisdom, okay? Larry, you know all this stuff, bro. Yeah. There's someone in here, you have such fear, such attacks. Fear grips you like God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound. If you're bound by fear, like you know God's called you to do stuff, and then you get fear just grips you and just takes hold of you quickly. Quickly. And those of you up here, listen with me. Lord Jesus, I declare you're my Lord, my Savior. My heart belongs to you. I'll serve you all the days of my life. I say Jesus is my Lord, is my Savior. I'll serve Him. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is the one that empowers me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. It's not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. Now lift your hands up right now, and let's pray. Now you have to sow more seed to get increase in the financial arena, because there's tight times in this end times, but as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. So you have to bring the tithe, and then above the tithe you sow, and then increase comes, and then the increase will flow. Now I break that oppression in Jesus' name. Be free! In the name of Jesus. So blessed. So much mistrust in you because you've been hurt before by others that have done things to hurt you. And you say, Lord, I trust you, and I know. And you also know that the ministry tonight is real. Now, in the name of Jesus, I break all that oppression and depression off of her. I break any lying spirit of even hope deferred to make the heart sit, like not even want to live. I break that off of her now. There's the anointing right there. Yep, there it is. I'm really proud of her. Honey, you stay down there because the anointing's on her. I don't know her name. What is her name? Kayla, I'm really proud of you, honey. The anointing is on you strong. Now, the Lord saved you from a lot of things, honey. He has saved you from hell itself multiple times around. And you think, Lord, I'm not good enough. Listen to me. You are good enough. Ephesians 1 and verse 6 says you're accepted in the Beloved. And a lot of times you have tried to do things that you thought were God, and it failed terribly. And you say, Lord, did I miss you? But even tonight, as the teaching came forth about getting the mind of Christ, will help solidify that and make it clearer for you. And the Lord's going to use you. There's a whole category of people that you are going to reach that others won't. Do you understand that? That's your heart, isn't it? Yes, it is your heart. And the Lord's going to use you mightily. And you're going to say things boldly. I did this and I did that and I did this, but the Lord delivered me from it. Yeah, you know that, right? You already know that. Now, receive the anointing in Jesus' name. Fire! In Jesus' name. Stay behind her. Now, the funds will come in. Remember, the Lord's your source, right? And remember, Paul said, no man communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you did it once and again. So giving's a rhythm. It's not a one-time event. It's a lifestyle. He said, not that I desire a gift, but seed that may abound to your account. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. So the Lord, David said, I've been young and I've been old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You're not a beggar. He's not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. Now, Father, right now I release finances into his life. Don't worry about what men think about you. You know, the greatest deliverance you're going to get free is from the opinion of man and what they say. Why would you care so much about people and their opinion that care so little about you? All you should care about is what God thinks. Isn't that right? Yeah. And you're not going to carry out your destiny if you stop and throw stones at every barking dog. I'll take the anointing in Jesus' name. And you know that's true, don't you? Now your heart cry is, Lord, give me clarity. Lord, show me what to do. I need to know, God, because this is a very difficult situation where I need a lot of wisdom, right? Yeah, that's right, isn't it? But the best is yet to come for you. And you're not supposed to get involved with that. There's some things you're not supposed to get involved with. You're just supposed to leave it alone and trust the Lord. You understand that? Like, there's some things that people try to make your issue, and then you say, oh, now I got a hand. No, you step back and let me do it. Let the Lord do it, and you pray. Amen? You got it? They'll just lift it all off of you now. Now just leave it to God. Let him do it. And trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make straight your path. And remember this, Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication. Now supplicate means when you pray for stuff out of your hands with other people. And the God of peace, there it is. There's the anointing. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The timing will come when all things will be worked out for you. And the wisdom of God will be the proper insight for you to take that next step. Don't be worried about why and this and all that. Just start saying and declaring and decree. The Bible says you shall decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. So just confess the word over your situation. Life and death in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And your life is his, and you do have the right heart, and you're a good person, and you're sweet. And the money will come, and the finances will come, and I'll take care of you and supply all your needs. For the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, and there's a transferring of wealth that will come into your life as you sow and say and declare, the Lord shall supply all my needs. Father, I thank you for him in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you that you use him mightily to stand behind Pastor Richard and be a strength to them. In the name, there it is, right there. Just take the anointing. Just take the anointing. Soto bonze. And heal his back while he's down there. Now, there's a closing coming of a season of past that has to take place in order for you to enter over into some new things. And that door still wants to keep flipping open to the past, but you have to close the door. You understand that, don't you? And that makes sense to you. Remember, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8 says he opens doors no man can open, and he closes doors no man can close. But he's given you the instruction to close the door.
Yes.
See what I mean? So now he'll empower you to close it. So you have to forget those things which are behind. The chapter yesterday is over. Those things have to be closed. No more shuffling back. You have to go forward.
Thank you.
And you press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Let it go. Let it go. Now there's music in you all over. La, 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 la. Let's worship her. You worship. And the Lord's going to show you what to do. I want to, I know. God will bring it to you. All in his timing, honey. He'll bring the best to you if you wait. You know that, right? He'll bring the best to you if you'll wait on his timing. And you already know that. You say, Lord, I'm determined to get God's best. And it's going to come to you. I said it's going to come to you. And the Lord knows he's going to use you too in a greater in the ministry to serve in a greater capacity. And it's a season of a lot of change, but don't let change bother you. Don't let it ruffle your feathers. Just stay steady because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. Remember the song, Thou changest not? Yeah, you know that one, right? So he's the one who's the same. So you just trust him and take the anointing. I want to go to school, Lord. I want to get educated in the things of God and the ways of the Spirit. These are the days where people are going to step up out of a place of the unexpected and do the miraculous. And try to do that quietly, okay, if you guys could. And the lessons that you've learned in times past will become a schoolmaster to help people. For you have been through a lot and a lot of things that you've had to learn, the hard way in some cases. But the Lord has been lifted up in the middle of it, and mercy and grace and compassion has flown into your life, honey. And the Lord loves her so much. Roboste. You don't have to rush anybody up either. I mean, if you want to get up, okay, but I would advise you to leave them under the anesthesia of the Holy Spirit. Amen. While God's removing things, putting things in, taking things out. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you for him. It's been a very hard season for him. Sometimes you think stuff is crazy, you know, all this spiritual stuff could be weird, it's off, but it's not, it's real. Now the Lord knows your heart and sees your needs and shall supply. Father, use him to bring people to Christ. Use him as a voice piece, like an evangelist, like Philip, to go speak and declare, and the anointing will flow into him and through him in Jesus' name. Debt cancellation is there for you. For the more you give, the more you sow, the more you'll sow. Soar as you sow is what I'm trying to say. My life is yours, Lord. Yes, it is. Now, you've been tempted to quit many times, to say, I've had enough. I don't want this anymore. I can't do life anymore. This is too hard. But you will not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you don't faint. 2 Timothy 2:3, enduring hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please him who's chosen him to be a soldier. You be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain. There, take the anointing. Fire! You guys can help Larry too, okay? Work together so he doesn't hurt his back or nothing weird. No fear. No fear. There's the anointing, just take it. Fire! Father, I thank you for providing a mate in Jesus' name for him that's of God. Are you all up here for prayer? Are you? You together? You are, aren't you? All the family, beautiful. All right? Nice. Lift your hands up, honey. Like you would say sometimes, Lord, I don't know how to do this stuff, right? That'd be your heart, right? Like this stuff is. And you're really honest and you're analytical, like I am. I'm extremely analytical. But God's in my thoughts and my heart. But the Lord's going to show you. He's going to reveal himself to you in a greater way down in your spirit and even in your intellect. He's going to illuminate by the Spirit of God. And the Lord knows your heart to be used of him. You have a good heart. And sometimes I can't see it, Lord, what you would have me to do. But it's going to come to pass. And the wisdom of God will come to you. Because Jesus has been made unto you wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, and redemption. There's the anointing right there. Just take it, honey. She has a really good heart. Wow. Pure heart. Put something. Just be careful with the people with the floor, you know. Just they don't put something under their head or something. Now, the abilities that God has given you is to keep order. You're an order man. And you will quickly put things in order. And there's authority that's been invested in the government that's been given to you. And the Lord's going to continue to use you like civil authority. Fire in Jesus' name. Don't rush anybody up, please. Just let them stay under it. I would strongly advise that. This is my business. Unless they have to get up and use the bathroom or something. Amen. What did you come up for? For her? Do you have Jesus in your heart, honey? No, you've never been born again? Okay. Close your eyes and just pray this with me. Just close your eyes. It's okay. I won't bite you, I promise. Say, Jesus, I know that you died for me. I ask you now to come into my heart and be my personal Savior. I say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. Now the Lord loves you, honey, and he's going to use your life. And there's no, you don't have to hide behind any mask of anything. For who you are, he is made perfectly. You're precious, honey, in his sight. Take the anointing. Come on up here, sis. We're out of floor space. Lift your hands up and thank God. Now lift your hands. Father, we thank you right now. Take the anointing. Fire into her in Jesus' name. Now you have a tender heart, honey, for the Lord. And the Lord has used you and he's going to continue to use you. And you say to me, sometimes I just can't seem to get things right or clear. But the Lord's grace is it. Remember, it's not by works. God uses your works, but remember, it's grace that comes in that connects with your works and helps you to accomplish and achieve. And if you have a bad day, just do better tomorrow. Got it? You have a good heart. Your heart's pure. You really do. I could see it even when I was teaching. I could see it going into you. You're hungry for God. And the Lord's not mad at you. Okay? He's not mad at you. You're a good girl. Do you understand that? You are a good girl. You are a good girl. Latrice, come up here. You help me. Or somebody, pastor's wife, you want to help me? Okay. You are a good girl. And the Lord sees your heart, honey. You're accepted. He loves you. Come here, mom. Just come put your arms around her, if you would. Just arm, come around in front. Just hug her. Arms around her. Put your arms around her. Put your hands up. And just stay there. Don't leave yet. Fire. Lift your hands up, sugar bug. How old are you?
14.
14? I have a daughter of 13. You have Jesus in your heart? How long have you been serving him? Oh, wow. Okay. Father, use her. Raise her up to be a mighty woman of God. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. There's change for this man. Change all around him. Change, change, change. Be free in the name of Jesus. Stay there with her. Lift your hands up. Don't rush anybody up unless they want to. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not yet seen. For by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. We walk by faith and not by sight. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things that he saith shall come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. Faith is released through words. Faith is nothing to do with emotions. Faith has nothing to do with circumstances. Faith has to do with a divine law that God says it shall be. So you walk by faith, you live by faith, and your faith will see you through. You got it? Fire. Just follow God. Okay. Now the Lord's going to provide finances for you, and funds are going to come in. And it'll be supernatural. See, when you get out of the mindset that your job is your paycheck and you see your job as your seed, then you start really making ground, okay? So you tithe 10% and then you start sowing radical. Listen to the Holy Spirit and he will bless you. He's no respecter of persons, so he will bless you beyond measure. Remember this. He will multiply your seed sown, right? Okay? And so given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He will cause men to pour back into your bosom. So you activate the principle. Jesus says, more blessed to give than to receive, because you're activating the return by the seed you sow. All right?
Yeah.
So give. And follow the Holy Spirit in your heart. Don't give foolishly. Like one person, well, I gave my car away because pastor did. Well, and then you're hitchhiking. You know, follow the Holy Ghost. You know, you have to follow the Spirit of God. What he tells you to do. What he tells you to do. Lift your hands up, honey. If you have pain in your lower back, quickly come to the altar. There's healing here right now. Just shifted gears, quickly. You need healing in your back. Just if you're down on the floor and need healing, just stay there. There's a lot of people that need healing in their backs. Lower back. Lower back pain. I'll tell you, we're going to have all kinds of miracles. All of them. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Now the assignment against your life will come to nothing. No weapon formed against you will prosper, for your righteousness is in him, of him. Every tongue that rises against you shall be condemned. Be free! In Jesus' name. God's not done with you. You're just getting started, man. He's going to use you mightily. Do you understand that? He wants to use you greater. Okay. So don't let fear hold you back, or don't even let circumstances or even what you think about certain things limit you. For you can't, if you do that, you'll limit the Holy One of Israel. There's anointing right there. Fire! Father, I think respiratory issues. Who has problems with respiratory breathing? Tightness in the chest area. Who is that? Is that you? Who is that? Respiratory. Can't breathe. Come on up, honey. Now, You've moved through a lot of weird seasons, seasons of trouble, seasons, you know, to everything there's a season and time under the sun, but you keep moving and you're doing good and the Lord's proud of you. You keep moving, right? I mean, you haven't quit. And he's proud of you and he's with you and you've done good. Don't look back. You forget those things which are behind. You press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, the seasons of hardness and difficulty, you said, many are of the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all the Lord delivers. I thank you right now that you're giving her strength to face those things head on and deal with them head on by the anointing in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for a new vehicle for her, a new car, a new vehicle. I don't know, that comes up in my heart. Provide it for the funds for it in Jesus' name. And there's things that you've been looking for God to bring to pass that are going to come to pass. I'll tell you right now, it's going to come to pass. These are the days where you must be persistent, consistent, disciplined, non-wavering, and that's for you. So you stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free. Be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage, for you're running well. Who did hinder you from obeying the truth? This persuasion cometh not from him who called you. So you cast down imaginations, every lofty thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You bring those thoughts captive, obedient to Christ. You tell the devil no. Yeah. Let's lift our hands and thank God in the name of Jesus. What is it, back? Your back? If they have back problems, can you sit them on a chair in the front row and I'll just come? And just have them sit down. Just go sit down on the front row. People in the front row, just move or grab chairs and we'll help people because I'm going to pray for backs. Sit right there, sir. You're back. In the name of Jesus. Let's lift our hands and thank him. The anointing is strong here right now. Jesus is in this building, I'll tell you right now. And people are being touched powerfully. Revelation knowledge is going to come to some of you. You've been crying out for revelation knowledge. Can you sit her in a chair? Somebody help? Like just some leadership help? Thank you so much. Watch his arm. Don't touch his arm down there. Okay, sit down. Okay. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Kurt, come up here with me, bro. I want you to see what some miraculous things that God's going to do. Sit back, honey. Does it hurt your back? Okay. Come on, put your legs out. Okay, relax. Okay, Kurt, come over here. You see her leg? How off is that? About two inches? Watch how fast. Did you feel that? It's pretty good. Do you have any pain?
Somewhat, yes.
It's there now?
Yes.
Really? Check again. You're going to start feeling warmth go right into your back. Watch. I told you. You feel that? I like her. Who is this girl? It's your sister? I like her. All right, you're healed, honey. Stand up for a minute. Did you see the curve? How many inches was that off?
Two
inches at least. Come here, sugar. What's your name?
Brittany.
Okay, turn and face me. Okay, come up here, Pastor Rich. Now, Father, use her, raise her up to be a mighty woman of God, a woman of the Word, a woman of the Spirit, a woman of purity and holiness. A woman of no compromise that will tell it like it is and be straight and strong for you and give her a godly husband and keep her away from flaky men. Amen. In Jesus' name. Come, let's move over here. Put your legs out, sir. Okay, Kurt, I want you to see the miraculous of what Jesus does. You got a lot of pain, don't you?
No, that was all made of wood.
Oh, this one's made of wood?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Well, he can grow wood out. That's pretty good. That kind of beats it all right there. I ain't never seen a wood leg grow out. But I guess it's the rest of your leg growing out to meet the wood. Now, where's your pain? Is it there now?
Feels warm.
Yeah, that's usually what the anointing does. Lift your hands and thank him. You're being healed right now, my friend. That's pretty good, isn't it? You ain't never felt that before, have you? Maybe a heating pad, but not Jesus. It's been years. How many years? Long time. Yeah. Broken back. Car accident? It was, wasn't it? That's what the Lord tells me. All right, lift your hands up now. You're going to feel heat go through your whole spine. Watch. And your neck and everything, because you got pain in the neck needs to be straightened out. Told you. You feel that warmth? That's pretty good, isn't it? You keep staying there because you're under surgery. Okay, stay there now. He's not done with you. What's your name?
Doug.
Doug? You're going to be using that cane to like whoop the devil upside the head. Okay, put your legs out, sugar. You got back pain? Do you have back pain?
Knee pain.
Okay, go over there, and we'll get to you, all right? All right. All right, sugar. You're just off a little bit. Your pain's going quick. Where was your pain? Lower back? Do you feel the warmth in there now?
Yes.
You do, don't you?
I do.
Isn't that nice? What's that feel like? You ain't never felt that before, have you?
No.
That's Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved among us with signs, wonders, and miracles, which God did in the midst of us. Now behold thy threatening, Lord, and grant unto thy servant with all boldness, we stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders might be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they prayed, the place was shaken. So honey, I'll tell you right now, you just got healed. God's doing something with vertebrae in the lower back. You feel that still? Okay, you're on a surgery table, so just relax. Okay, you guys couldn't make it hard enough, could you? Okay, why don't you put her on the windowsill? Okay. All right, look, see how she's relaxed. You're too tense. See how she's off, Kurt? Watch how fast. Now it's longer. Now, where is your pain, sugar? Where is it? Is it there now?
It's going.
Mm-hmm. That's usually what happens. It's leaving you right now, honey. You're still got some heat going on. What's your name, sugar?
Loretta?
Okay. You're healed, honey. No more sorrow, okay? No more sorrow and sadness. You've been through a tough season. You rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? You got it? Okay. Your hips are being healed right now. You'll feel warmth in your hips.
That's
15 minutes. Woo! That sounds like the Holy Ghost. You're healed. Now, the funds will come to you when you sow above the tithe. Remember that. The tithe just opens the window gates. The sowing above is when things go crazy. Okay? Where the blessing comes. You're healed, honey. Okay? You just stay right there. You'll still feel the heat. All right, Kurt, stay close. Okay. What's wrong, bro?
A lot of pain in my left knee.
Oh, really?
And sciatic.
Really?
And then lower back.
Your neck?
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Which knee was it?
Left knee.
Just got healed.
I would take that. I am running with that.
Yeah? You really want to run? Okay. Put your legs out. Okay, relax. So he's off. This leg's off, but watch how quick. Now, the pain, your left knee, right?
Yes.
You're healed. Now, your neck, you'll start feeling warmth, bro, in your neck. Watch. Told you. Like heat. You feel that?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty nice, isn't it?
That's
pretty good, isn't it? You can't get that at Walmart unless pastor's there. You're being healed, bro. You feel it? Now it's going to run all the way down your back. Watch. Can you feel it? Yeah. Hey, it's there, Kurt. Amen. How you doing, sis, over there? Your hips are healed, huh? That feels good, right? You still got warmth going on, right? You too, lower back? Nice. The chiropractor is working on people. Amen. Amen. You go to chiropractor to get an adjustment, Jesus will adjust you in church. He won't even charge you. I won't even charge you. He Watch this, Kurt. Watch. Professor, we've got a miracle. Really? You had. You had. Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make sure we corrected that. Now let him correct you now in the back now. Let it correct with divine healing. You're going to feel warmth in there. It's the lower back, right? In the lower? Where else? In the neck. Okay. All right. Do you feel warmth in there? Here it comes. You do, right? Wow. What's that feel like? Does it feel good?
Feels wonderful.
Nice. That's nice. Kurt, you're not done with business. There was one time you had dreams to be a major multimillionaire. It's still there. I mean, it's not that you're not. I don't mean that. But there's things still inside of you that you have to do for God, that God wants to birth in you yet. Now, you're healed, sir. In your neck area. Just move it right now. How's that feel? Really good, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to lay in bed all night and soon like burn just through your whole body all night, like a heating pad, all of you. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's pretty good, huh? You ever felt that before? Not really. All right, you're healed. How you doing there, sir? You're doing good, right? Terrific, right?
Never felt so good.
That's so exciting, isn't it? Look at this guy, Kurt. He's excited. Oh, praise God. Amen. Amen. You feel good, right?
Like a million bucks.
Beautiful, like a million bucks. How do you beat that? In Italian, that's beautiful. You back?
Hips.
Your hips? Okay. That's beautiful, right? Were you? You did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, lift your hands up. Let's thank God. Somebody has an irregular heartbeat. Irregularity in the heartbeat. It beats funny. It's fluttering. You gave your life to Christ tonight. Proud of you. Irregularity, heartbeat. Who is that? Come here. Irregularity quickly in the valves. You stay right there because God's working on you. No. Irregularity in the heartbeat. Okay, lift your hands up. Okay. Close your eyes. What happens? It flutters or something? What is it?
It's due to his diabetes.
Okay.
So
okay.
All right,
well, a new pancreas?
Yeah.
Oh, there's body parts all over heaven. You go to a Mazda dealership, they got parts all over the place. Heaven's got parts.
Grab a spare.
He said grab a spare. Father, give it unto him now what he needs. Your heart's racing fast. That means you're excited, man. Now, Father, heal him. Give him a new pancreas. Change it. Whatever body part he needs, put it into him right now. From heaven, bring that body part. Angels, bring it, put it in him now. There it is, right there. Stay behind him. I was in one service, and I don't even know where I was. I'm kind of under it here. Let's lift our hands and give Jesus all the glory. I was in one service, and I called out scoliosis of the spine. And some lady came forward. Her ribs were just twisted like this. And I prayed for her and I watched them turn right in front of me. And then she was so excited. She said, "My heart, my heart, my heart." I said, "What's wrong? Should I have leaky valves?" And right behind her stood an angel. And as soon as she said it, I watched him stick it right in the back of her thing. And she fell in the power. I didn't even touch her. Isn't that nice? That's pretty good. See, angels bring body parts.
Yes, they do.
They're ministering spirits sent to render service for those who have inherited. You're being healed right now. Your back's being straightened. Close your eyes and just receive that. Ringing in the ears. Who's that? Ringing in the ears. That comes up in my spirit. Where? Who where? Oh, okay. Come here, honey. Whatever you need, honey. Go sit in the chair. Let's straighten that out. Here's another thing: female problems. Ovaries. Who has the ovary problems? Like, I don't know if it's menstrual cycle issues or whatever. That's you, babe. Come on up here, honey. You're being healed still.
Yes.
You feel that heat?
Yes,
it's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
Female problems? Okay. I called that out in one service. I said, someone's got female problems, and a young teenage boy came forward. I was like, that's the wrong issue. Okay. Where's the pastor's wife? Where's Joan? Come over here and put your jumper cables on her. And your hands are booster cables. You know that. You lay hands on the sick. That's really what it is. Put them right on her female parts. Now, be accurate. Now, right where it is. You know where they are. I don't know where they are. Okay, yeah, down a little lower.
Oh, I don't know either.
Really? Okay. That's so funny.
I don't have x-ray vision.
Well, you kind of a general, you know, geography a little bit.
I love you.
Aw. You're being healed right now, honey. Now we command those ovaries to function properly, to flow and to function properly in the name of Jesus. You're going to feel warmth in there, honey. Really fast. Watch. I told you. Like fire. Watch. Now you have a real analytical mind. You like think things through and you just like, you know, analytical. And it's good because God gives you a good mind. But you can't reason faith too much. You just have to some things God just wants you to accept. It is what it is. If God says it, you just say, I don't care. I just do what he says. Okay? You got it? And don't let mood swings control you. Because moods. I need see why I got you up here? Bro, oh man. I know you can deep squat about 450. So, okay, come here, sis. All right, let's check what's going on here. Relax, you're too tense. All right, just a little off. Relax. Now, you're in the left hip? Which hip is it? Do the hips bother you?
Scoliosis.
See why I call that out? See why you say certain things? It's not by coincidence. All right. You're straightened out there. Now come here for a minute. Let's thank the Lord now. Let's lift our hands. Come on over here. Come over here, honey. Put her right here because she can lay down. Now here's what's going to happen. I'm gonna pray for you, and you're going to fall in the power of God, and your spine's going to start shifting. So get ready for that. Okay? Like it's going to, might even pop. You know, I don't know. But the I like her, you know. Hey! Okay, be healed. Now watch what goes on down there. While you're laughing, that whole spine's going to shift and move and like burn like fire. You watch. You mark it down. You're going to feel, it's going to feel weird, but it'll be good. What's he need?
He needs to be healed of diabetes.
Diabetes? And what else? Pancreas and diabetes?
Yes.
That's nothing. You're done after this.
Absolutely.
You believe? All right, Father, heal him of diabetes. All those BDs die. Don't eat so much sugar, right? In Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Stay under it, sis. No. Don't get up. You're on the operation table. Run up, blood squirting all over the place and hoses. Come on. Stay down there. You're under anesthesia. Are you okay over there, sis? You doing okay? Yeah, she's just caught. Two worlds. Yeah. A little different night tonight. Okay, what's he need? Back? Okay. All right. Your back needs healing? Okay, dude. Your hands what? Oh, that's nothing. I've had ones where people had surgery and God reconnect them. It's nothing. You can't, come here. You can't feel now? Okay. All right. That's nothing. You can get it back right now. I like this guy. He's like ready to jump off the cliff, you know. I love that. Faith. Okay. Put your hands out. Now put them in top of my hands. You're going to feel such warmth. Now put them on. Touch my hands. Now watch. Now, Father, let him have full range of motion. Let his hands burn with fire when he plays the guitar. Let everything be perfect. Carpal tunnel, no more. Get the carpet out, the tunnel, and everything else, and be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands. Just lift your hands. Don't clap. Just lift your hands. Don't clap. Don't clap. Okay. All right, let's thank God. How you doing, buddy? No more diabetes, no more whatever, pancreatic, blah, blah, whatever. You're healed. Jesus, the name of Jesus is above every name. Put your legs out. Just a little off. My gosh. See that? That was easy. I don't know if you could tell, but that straightened out and turned in. Now, Father, I thank you for every herniated disc in his back that is not properly functioning into perfection, that you touch his back now in the name of Jesus. Now, touch him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it now. Amen. You just keep lifting your hands and thanking him because he's on you right now. Let's thank God right now.
Hallelujah.
Just lift your hands. Lift them. Don't clap. Just lift your hands. Just lift your hands and worship him. Amen. Someone here, you have problems ringing in the ears. Where is that? That comes back to me. Was that you? Okay. See why I walked away? God said go back there, ringing in the ears. Okay. Watch how quick. I command that ringing to go depart from him now. Ephapha, which means be open. Where'd it go? Gone, isn't it? It's gone, right? 99%. Well, just get the one and you're done. Just keep thanking him. Ringing for you too? Really? What happened? All right. I'll kind of pray for you down here. Now, Father, I thank you for the ringing in the ears that departs. Command it to come out of her now. I don't like telephone devils. In Jesus' name, all the ringing has to go. We command all blockage, all hindrance to depart from her now. Thank you, Father, you raise her up in this last day to be an end-time financer for the kingdom of God, to use her as a voice piece to the up-and-outers as well as the down-and-outers. Use her in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, fire into her now in Jesus' name. You know, there's a lot of people say, well, I'm for the up-and-outers. I go after businessmen, people. That they have everything, but they have nothing. They have money, but they have nothing. If they don't have Jesus. Your knee?
Please, and I fell off the ladder.
Fell off the ladder?
Yes.
Your knee. Which knee is it? It's that one, isn't it?
That one.
Is it hurt right now?
Not too bad right now. 6 months ago, and they give me injections.
All right. Well, how about an injection of Zoe?
Okay. Yes.
And you'll never go again.
Okay.
Zoe. You know what Zoe is in the Greek? The life of God. So we put Zoe inside his knee now, Father, almost like an injection of the life of God. Your shoulder just got healed. Just lift it up. Told you. Watch, you'll feel warmth in there.
The knees, this knee especially is warm.
Yeah?
Yep,
that one right there, huh? Nice. Amen. Let's thank God right now in the name of Jesus. Give him all the praise. Just worship him and don't clap. Just worship him. Father, we give you praise. Amen. Somebody here, you've had digestive tract issues in the stomach. Where your digestive tracts. Okay. Okay. There's more of you, though. Come here. There's several of you, quickly. How you doing, boss? Feel good? Go ahead and move your hands. It's different.
Yes, it is.
It is different, isn't it?
This isn't catching so much.
It's not catching at all. I told you. What'd you expect? That's pretty good, huh? Awesome, right? All right. Digestive tracts?
Sure, yes.
And since 62, since the year I was born? Really?
Careful.
Okay. Now, in the name of Jesus, for out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And there's the preach in you. And the gifts of the Spirit shall flow, and you'll lay hands on sick and transfer the anointing. and people will be healed and set free. And not only that, the life of God will be transferred, and the money's going to come. One time in your life, you were like a money man, but now you're a God man and a money man. And sometimes you hear things in the distance, and you say, "Is that really you, God? Is that really you, God?" And sometimes God has to do it that way, because if He puts it too front, you'll jump right away. You got me? So what He's had to do is temper you. I'm talking by the Spirit. He's had to temper your zeal, which is good. He's had to temper it a little bit so that you didn't jump out ahead of Him. So the voice sometimes that you hear now will be a little distant, because He's moving closer into you for a timing element. That's how He's going to work with you from now on. Like, you'll know it. You'll hear the voice, but it's a little far off. But then it'll come race up to you at your front door so that you don't jump out too fast in front of Him, because then you can get ahead of the Lord. Okay, your tummy, honey? Really? Does it hurt now?
No. Only when I eat.
Only when you eat. That could be a problem. Only when you eat. Okay. All right. Your hips are healed. Come here. You can help me. Come here. You put your hands on her, like in her belly, right down in the area. Put your hand right in her tummy right there. Okay. Now be healed in the name of Jesus. Because we have to raise up another generation of people. Teach them. You feel the warmth? You do, don't you? My goodness. Now command that stomach issue to go! You leave her alone. She'll eat anything she wants from now on. Tummy issues? Put your hands. You're here. You're here. Help me. Esophagus? Okay, put your hands on there, because, you know, I'm a man. I don't want to do that, so you could do that. You're going to start feeling fire in the name of Jesus. Watch, you'll start feeling heat, honey. You feel that? You just need to stay there. It would be the best thing for you right now at this stage of the game. In the name of Jesus, I command that stomach pain to depart from her and her esophagus to function perfectly. No, and there's nothing to be afraid of, like dying or nothing like that. There's nothing wrong with you. In Jesus' name. Be free! All the way in the back. He's going to show you what to do. You've been praying, Lord, show me what to do, how to handle this situation. He's going to give you the wisdom you need on the inside of you. You don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to be there anymore. It's too much. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands all over the building. Just worship Him. Well, honey, step away. That's all. Step away. Step away. Stay here. Where's the pastor's wife? Where is she? Is she here? Come here, honey. Come up here, Joan. Stay with her. Put your arms around her. You two stay with her and just pray with her. Wow. What do you need, bro?
Just to get some flutter in my ears. Flutter?
Okay. Come out in Jesus' name. Is it there now? Okay.
Sometimes it goes on and off.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. We ain't gonna come anymore. In Jesus' name, you're done. It's done. You're done. It's done. Let's thank God. Allie, come up here. No, it's not time for you to make any radical moves. You stay put, stay steady, and stay in position. And you stay faithful. And the God's going to give you a godly husband. Will serve God, and He's going to use you in ministry. You know that? Because that's your heart's desire, like to be raised like one of those pastor's wives down there. Isn't that right? I said, isn't that right? Okay. That's what God's saying. You'll do it.